Please don't.
So what are we talking about, G? Social media?
Yep.
What's on your mind about social media? You got your list ready?
So basically, kind of already sent you what the topic is, but so it's basically the impact that social media has, the dangers or the impact of social media on relationships, mental health, and productivity. But
Yeah, just in general, social media has been, and it was kind of like people didn't really see it coming to the degree it came on, but I think it's been one of the biggest shifts, like psychologically, for human beings in all of recent history, and we haven't really been able to kind of, it came on like so fast. We haven't really been able to really grapple with, really kind of like come to terms with like what happened. And for me, like I've really seen it in my lifetime. I've really seen the, from being alive when there was no social media, no smartphone, no internet, to now. And it's been a drastic shift that you could say has had, well, there's been different stages to it, so it'll be interesting to go into it, because what social media is now, what the internet is now, is very different than what it was when it first came out. And there's been different kind of chapters that evolution. But I think most people agree that there's certainly a lot of negative effects that are coming out of social media right now. And yeah, excited to dive into it with you. I know it's a topic a lot of people are interested in.
I mean, so yeah, there's definitely a couple of things I want to go over. But first I want to kind of talk about like the dangers on mental health and how also how it's affecting like the younger generation, because one thing that we know is like there's a lot of like parents who are trying to like ban social media in like schools. Like there's just a lot of parents that are rallying against like things like TikTok and all this different stuff. And I think one of the main issues, kind of like you said, is it's probably one of the biggest shifts in human history, I think, honestly. And I don't think we truly realize, because this past 10 to 20 years, there's been like an exponential explosion in technology, like the way technology. There's actually this graph. It's called Moore's Law. I don't know if you ever heard of it, but it
Yep.
basically shows the rate at which computers advance, and it's exponential. So if you ever see an exponential graph, it builds on top of itself, right? So each year, that technology advances, it advances faster the next year, and even faster than that the next year, and it keeps getting faster every year. And I think we're seeing that happen, where things like AI, things like all this new technology, it's advancing like rapid, faster than we can even truly understand the consequences of it, and I think that's something that we're still kind of, one thing I think that's interesting is that our society, our ancestors, our ancient ancestors, right? They were literally like hunters and gatherers, right? They were literally like, in a tribe, talking with like four or five other people around a fire, whatever, right? And now we have phones where there's like millions of notifications coming in. You put a post up, you get all these comments and likes and all these different things, right? You have all these, all the stimulation that you get from the scrolling, the different videos, all these different things. So it's like our brain is not really wired at all for this, because our brain for thousands of years has been in a very simple environment that's not anything like the environment we have today, which is highly technological. And we're kind of in this like virtual matrix that's completely, you could say opposite or opposing to the environment that we were naturally born into. So I think one of the reasons why social media has done so much damage and why it's led to a lot of the modern day issues with the world is because of the simple fact that, like most of the things we talk about on this podcast, it's not really natural to us. I mean, the way that we should be living in our environment is not, sitting on a screen 10 hours a day. It's usually being outside, socializing in person, those different types of things.
Why don't you
And of
lay out
course,
the damage that you think it's done so that's clear?
well, in a general sense, I think that, we can dive more into it in particular, but in a general sense, I think a lot of the damage that's been done is specifically with like people's mental health. I think it's done damage to people's relationships, and kind of the relationship dynamics that people have. I think it's also done a lot of damage to the younger generation in the sense of the natural things that you would have that would kind of be like basically like a lot of the things that would allow younger kids to like be more social and to be outside and to get exercise, just like the
So
very simple
that
things
would
that are,
include physical health then, since done damage to physical health.
so
And I think we've
physical
also
health.
touched on emotional health as well. Anxiety, depression. There's all kinds of studies that show that social media use increases, particularly in teenagers, particularly in teenage girls, increases social anxiety, depression, even suicidal thoughts and all kinds of things in that realm of
Well, that's the other thing
health.
too, is I think social media also makes people, really like compare themselves. So a lot of insecurity, a lot of low self-esteem, especially with younger kids. So yeah, I think those are definitely some of the things we can dive into.
It seems to be a negative for, let's call it, spiritual health. There's a term you use sometimes that like degenerate. So a lot of the stuff that people, particularly young people, and we can break down because why all this is actually quite clear. It's not that complicated, but people tend to get fixated on degenerate material that takes them away from higher connection, shall we call it.
That's another element too. And that kind of goes along with the relationships, I feel like, because a lot of that degenerate culture that's pushed on social media, a lot of the hypersexualization that's pushed on social media is kind of what leads to a culture that has such toxic and damaging relationships and has a damaging impact on relationships in general, not just the dating culture, but people who are already in relationships. It can lead to things like, cheating and all different types of
Okay,
stuff
but
that
it has a lot of positive values too. So we have to include the positive values because if there's like billions of people doing something, I mean I can have a low opinion of humanity at times, I will acknowledge, but if there's billions of people doing something, people are smart enough that it does have some good that they're getting out of it. So there's a balance there of like what are they getting out of it that's positive? What are the negatives? And what is the reason for social media's existence, right? So I think this is the key starting point to me, and it's kind of a theme that we've covered in our it's kind of the theme of our several podcast episodes we've done recently. And it's like I think the starting point is like social media is not there for you to connect with your friends. It's not there to help you improve your life. It's not there to help you improve your mental health. It's not there to help you improve your emotional health. It's not there to help you improve your spiritual well-being. It's not there to help you improve your physical health. It's not there to help you at all. It's there to maximize profit, which is in the bylaws of multinational corporations or even national corporations. You must maximize profit for the shareholders. So that is the intention of social media. So then the next thing that's interesting is, well, how do they make money? Because people are like, oh, this is so great. I could be on here all day and it's free. but it's not really free, right? It's like there's a profit being made from advertising to you and using your data to pick up the characteristics of who you are and how to essentially manipulate you to better manipulate you to drive your mind in directions that they want to drive you to get money out of you. So that would be a long-winded kind of politically correct way of saying mind control. It's really what it is. You know, it's a form of mind control. Now, what's interesting is that the way that they get advertising is, let me say it this way, the more that you're on Facebook, for example, we'll use Facebook for example. The longer you're on Facebook, the more advertising revenue Facebook gets because they can prove that you're on there longer than TikTok or YouTube or what's the one? What's that one that the one that a lot of young people use? Not TikTok, but the other,
Snapchat.
Snapchat. Longer than so they're like where you're on longer, you get more advertising revenue. So all the algorithms now are designed to keep you on at longer and longer and longer, using the investing hundreds of millions of dollars into studies to figure out how to manipulate your mind to stay addicted to the social media app and to be on longer and longer. So the idea is not for you to like get outside, like you were saying, or exercise, or have a relationship, or take time to eat dinner. The idea is for you to be on there constantly, to be addicted, and so now it becomes, the way I see it, it becomes kind of like a battle almost. It's an adversarial relationship between you and the app, and I think this is actually a healthy way to look at it. So I obviously use social media. This will be shared on social media, right? So I think the interesting question is, can you use social media in a conscious, intentional, positive, constructive way and not use it in a constructive, degenerate, unhealthy way, right? That becomes the key question. But you have to kind of like, you have to realize the system wants you to stay on there and will do. There's no moral out, there's no morality, there's no ethics. It's just whatever gets you on as long as possible. We could talk about some of the ways they do that, but I think that's the thing that's interesting to me is like social media, it can be positive, right? You can connect with somebody that you have a shared interest in. You can connect with a group you have a shared interest in, make friends and make connections. You can do business through social media. You can become, as we've talked a lot, an entrepreneur. You can become self-employed through using social media in ways you couldn't before. You can find out something about, somewhere you want to travel to and make connections with different communities and people and, the things. So there's a lot of empowerment that's possible if you use it for your benefit and not have it used. If you use it and not be used, right? That's probably a good way to say it.
I would say you explained it pretty perfectly. Like, social media basically is a money making machine, right? And so their main goal is to keep you on there as long as possible, because the longer you are on, the more ads you see and the more ad revenue that they make, right? And that's the goal of any social media. That's their main agenda. Their agenda is not to, a lot of people think social media is mainly for communication, and like, communication obviously is the benefit, one of the benefits you get out of it, right? I think that's the main thing. It's in the name, social media. It's a media in which people can be social through, right? But obviously, that's only the need that they're filling so they can get that money, right? So they can, get that ad revenue. Now, again, like you said, I think there is definitely a conscious way to do it. I think there definitely is benefits to it. If there was no benefits, then I probably wouldn't be using it, because I do see value on things on social media. But I've realized that social media over the years has become more and more manipulative, and so I've had to personally take less time off of social media. I have to take more time off of social media just because the algorithm was so heavily trying to enforce different things, right? One of the things I think that's interesting, and I think you and me talked about this recently, but there seems to be a huge, like, I don't know if you noticed this, but I noticed this on Instagram specifically. It seems to be very like hypersexualized now, like a lot of hypersexualized content. And one of the things I think we kind of pointed at in the last podcast, just because it came to the top of my head when we were talking about relationships, right? One of the things that I think is pretty interesting is, I think there's a reason why they put out this hypersexualized content, right? And I think also there's a reason why the culture on social media exists the way it does, right? Because what you see on social media is you see a lot of, women who are posting like provocative photos, right? And a lot of those photos are getting a lot of attention from men, right? And then at the same time, women are also getting the validation from all that attention, right? Now, you can look at both ways. Either, both ways are neither good, right? Because you have on one side of things, you have women who are, basically in a culture where they're objectifying themselves, right? And then on the other side, you have a culture of men who are wasting their time in a sort of virtual matrix. And, like basically, liking all these photos, like following all these like Instagram models, right? Finding these women's like OnlyFans pages and all these different things, right? And so, this is one of the things I noticed where a lot of the algorithm seems to be pushing this. And I think because, as you said, one of the main things is to keep people on social media as long as possible and basically to manipulate people to stay on social media. And if you think of the best way to manipulate people, it's usually to target those more base desires, like those more primal desires, right? So sex being one of those things, right? And I think, throughout years of marketing, and I even learned this when I was studying psychology in school, one of the ways to target people in marketing is to go below, their conscious, decision-making capabilities. If a guy sees, some car and there's like a hot girl on it, he's gonna more likely buy that
Yeah,
car. It's
but Gio,
because
I don't think that they're pushing that. I don't think that they care at all about that. Like I said earlier, like I think they're just gonna do whatever works, you know? So for someone in your demographic, like a young man of your age, they're gonna presume that that's what works. So they're gonna, because you're, so they kind of work with like similar demographics. They actually obviously work on people's user history. But they're gonna push that, and if that works, then people will get more of it. If it doesn't work, they'll try something different, you know. But it could be sexy young women, it could be sexy young men, it could be cats, it could be babies. They don't it doesn't they don't care, you know. It's just whatever gets people hooked, and that's one of the things that gets people hooked. But I'll throw out something else to you that I think I would say is probably even more pervasive that people don't realize and they're unconscious of. And people use the term rage porn. So basic or fear porn, or basically a way to really get somebody hooked. And I will say I've been susceptible to it here and there in my life, but I'm pretty good at not being susceptible to it. But if you can get people triggered, if you can get people angry, if you can get people upset, if you can get people enraged, they'll engage more than if they're content. So this is a thing that social media uses. This is a thing that the cable news uses, Fox News uses it, MSNBC, CNN, all of them use this of like, said something, this happened in, Utah. Oh my God, I'm so upset. This happened in Utah. And like people are really angry and they're, 2 hours pass. And they're so upset about this thing, which will never have any effect on their life at all. They never would have known about it, never had of it. So they're so wrapped up in this thing that happened in some little town in Utah. Meanwhile, their own marriage has fallen apart. They haven't been engaged with their kids. They're in debt. Their house has fallen apart. It's like people are engaged in these stories on social media that enrage them, where what they should be putting their attention on is their own lives. Take a responsibility for their own lives and their own relationships and their own physical health and mental health and emotional health and where they live and their work and actualizing and activating their lives to the fullest potential, right? And dedicating themselves to that in a consistent level every day. but they get distracted intentionally because these social media apps, they know that if they can get you hooked in whatever way they can get you hooked, but that's a big one, is like getting you upset about something that's happening somewhere in the world, then they know that that will take you out of your life and that'll keep you locked to the screen. Obviously, just one more quick example about like the fear baiting, right? The fear baiting would be the whole COVID era, right? When really trying to do whatever you can to terrify people, keep them on the screen, keep them happy to pay attention. Don't let them go outside, you know, don't let them live a life that's off the screen. That's so basically the thing to understand with these social media apps is very simple. Off the screen, if you're off the screen, that's bad for them. If you're on the screen, that's good for them. So we have to take responsibility for exercising discipline in how we use the screen and constantly intentionally using it in a productive way that actually serves ourselves a healthy way and serves others in a healthy way.
Yeah, and I think to add on to that, the fear is one element of it. I think the hypersexualization is another thing. One thing you have to consider too, and this goes back to the last podcast that we talked about, is it's not just what keeps you on the screen and what keeps you off the screen. It's also designing a society that stays on the screen and designing a culture that promotes more screen use, more phone addiction, so on and so forth, right? Because the thing is, there, I always see that with these corporations, there's two elements to it. There's what gets the person to consume, and then there's what creates a society in which that person is more of a consumer in that product, right? And that's where the cultural engineering is. And I think, with the fear, that's a great example, right? Because the fear, if you create a society where there's a lot of division, there's a lot of people who are at each other's necks. There's a lot of, fear around real events and so forth, right? That will bring more people onto social media to see, searching up different things, checking the news, so on and so forth, right? Looking at different videos and everything, right? And then also to go back to the hypersexualization, I think one thing with that is that also relates back to the last podcast too, because I think a lot of the culture that we have is making people, more hypersexualized, right? And so they stay on social media. They're more addicted to that quick stimulation that they get online, that softcore pornography, especially on, Instagram, things you would find on Instagram, right? And a lot of the dynamics, I think, between men and women on social media is what keeps people on there. Because again, you have these women who are getting this free validation from lots of men, who probably should be giving that attention to their a partner in real life, right? Whether they have a partner or they don't, they should be giving that attention to their partner in real life, right? And if they don't have a partner, then they should pursue one and give them that attention, right? But of course, that attention is getting placed on social media. And I think what's happening is that because of the way our culture is promoting such values, that are promoting that, right? And it's creating such a hypersexualized culture, men usually are more visually stimulated. So what happens is they're getting more addicted to this quick stimulation that they get viewing women on, social media, right? And then
So,
again,
let me ask you a question. Are you saying that because men are getting quick stimulation on social media, it's preventing them or making it more difficult for them to create an actual relationship, a deep, meaningful, committed relationship with a real woman off the screen?
yeah, I would say it's kind of a feedback loop too, because you have the one you have that where it's like, yes, the addiction to the phone and the screen use and all that stuff is and the sexualized content on its social media is creating it, making it harder for men to develop a deep relationship with a woman in real life, right? But the other element I think as well is that because of this cultural engineering that has kind of entered our society, I think relationships in general are now, more toxic. They're now not as stable. And because of that, it allows people to just do what they want. And like, there's not, like in a normal world, if, a guy was like looking at a bunch of women on social media all the time, and women were like getting, thousands of guys sending them all those comments about like, oh, you look hot and all this stuff, like it would be like, okay, that's weird, right? Like in a normal monogamous healthy relationship, that's kind of strange. But it's almost like our society has kind of just accepted that as part of the norm because of the simple fact that, it's what's common, and it's just what happens on social media, right? And so I think it's a feedback loop where there's the relation, the cultural engineering that is basically making people go on social media and creating these toxic and unstable relationships that put people on social media. But then there's also the pull from social media itself that's keeping men and women
So
on
you're
there.
saying the problem is, I'm kind of asking the same question again. The problem is not being able to maintain a committed long-term relationship with an actual real human being.
Yeah, I would
So
say that's the main problem. And I would say, it's not just like maintaining that as well. It's also finding one. It's also, as we talked about in the last podcast, a lot of these men are incels. A lot of these men are lonely and single, right? And I think social media is another reason for that, because you're getting all this quick, dopamine sexual stimulation that should be, you should get that from a real partner. You shouldn't be getting that through.
so what's the solution? Because social media is not going away, right? So what's the solution?
Well, I think the solution for that in particular, and I think you actually kind of were the one who to come up with this phrase, but technological hygiene, I think,
Yeah,
is
I
what you
like that
call
one. I heard my
it.
friend Jordan Holmes use that term. I like that
Yeah.
term a lot too. Technological hygiene or tech hygiene.
Yeah, but I also think too that in a similar way that, if you look at like olden day religions or even like philosophy back in the day, they had this idea of like virtues and vices, right? So virtues were the things that you would do that would lead to a good life, that would lead to a harmonious society, so on and so forth, right? Like Christianity has virtues like modesty, temperance, courage, different things like that, right? And so, I think people need to create their own kind of virtue system to live in the modern day, right? Because I think the problem is that a lot of people go on social media and they just get manipulated by it because they have no structure in their life that's telling them like,
Yeah.
okay, maybe I should only spend 30 minutes on social media instead of 4 hours, or maybe I should stop following these content creators who are pushing out hypersexualized content that's really doing nothing to my benefit, or watching this mindless content that's not really giving me any value, not really providing me with any benefit in my life. Because I know one thing that I did was I used to use social media very mindlessly. I used to use it where it was very unconscious, and I would just scroll through everything, and like whatever would come into my feed would come into my feed. I would just follow things mindlessly. And then I realized like this is like doing a lot of like damage to my life, right? Like this is not providing me with, it's not helping me product in my productivity. It's not helping me in my relationships. It's not helping me with, business or anything like that, right? So what I did is I consciously started to not only like time the amount of, like the amount of time I would spend on social media, I would moderate that time, but also I basically this I started to, specify who I followed. I only want to follow people who, promoted content that was valuable, that was like giving me knowledge, giving me information that I could take and apply. And then obviously I also wanted to, use it as something for, something that was more oriented towards, friends and family as well, right? Versus just, random people on the internet. So I think that's one thing. And I think another thing too that I think people need to focus on, right? So I think, A is, be very specific with how much time you're spending on social media. Be very specific with who you're following, what type of content you're consuming, right? Is this content that's leading to your well-being, or is it leading to, negativity. Like, especially for men, I would be very careful, letting like super hypersexualized content. Like, a lot of guys need to just start unfollowing all these OnlyFans models, all these Instagram models. Like, a lot of guys need to just cut that out, because a lot of times I feel like that can lead to issues, not just with men who are single, where they become addicted to that type of content, but also
Let me
men
ask
who
you
are
a
in
question.
relationships.
Do you think it's bad for men to be attracted to women?
I mean, I think it's natural.
Yep. Do you think men are more attracted to beautiful women than, let's call them not beautiful women?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not so simple of a topic, because it's like you're taking something, like something's very natural. And then it could be made to be bad, and then that's a form of manipulation as well, and that gets manipulated by religion and churches and all this other stuff too, right? So it's like, to me, there's like this like, I don't know what to call it, like a line of, best way I could say it is like just being natural, being in your innate essence without being caught in any kind of addiction, without being manipulated, being aware of not being manipulated by anyone. But I don't think it's, I think it's, I would say it's unhealthy to not be attracted to, some people obviously aren't attracted to women, but to not be attracted to anybody, you're probably in an unhealthy state inside yourself. So I think it's natural to be health to be attracted to women. If you're a heterosexual man, it's natural to have sexual desire for a woman, for a beautiful woman, if you're a heterosexual man, and you need to know how to discipline that, and to again use that in a constant intentional way to create the life that you want to create. And if it's creating the life that you want to create, great. If it's not, then modify it and refine it, But there's kind of like a vast array of things. Like there's, if a woman is if a woman's a beautiful woman and she's like, standing next to a tree outside and she's wearing a beautiful dress, like, appreciate it, enjoy it. It's that's God made the tree, and God made her, and God at least made the people that made the dress. So like you can like appreciate the fullness of that. And I think that's actually life-giving, that's life-serving. The more that we're inspired, then the more we can channel that inspiration in a positive way. Then there's content that is not beautiful, it's not aesthetic. It's there to manipulate you, to grab your attention and to twist it in a certain direction, which you could call like hypersexualizes, if that's a term you want to use, whatever. So I think it's just feeling how you feel in your body, and being aware and being attentive. It's not trying to suppress or repress the feelings in your body. I would not advise that to young men. It's not going to work, and it's not healthy. Rather, to if you perceive beauty, if you perceive something that enlivens you sexually, to channel that in a healthy, productive way, which you can channel that into art, you channel that into writing, you can channel that into, painting, you can channel that into your relationship. You can channel that in all kinds of different ways. It's energy that's surging up and is the life force that can flow through you. Or in the danger, I think, that has happened over the years is people get addicted, and when they get addicted, then they lose their own sense of sovereignty, essentially, and empowered direction in their lives, and they're at the whim of, quite frankly, it's usually men that are behind the business of the woman. Usually behind the business of the woman is a man who's making money off you. So it's
Yeah.
like being mindful of the way that works. And it's just a matter of being conscious and being present and being self-aware. And I love what you're saying though about social media, of like, that's what I was going to say, something similar of like, if you go in there, it's almost like you're going into like a what you call it, like a wolf's den or something. Like you're going into like a dangerous place when you go on social media, right? So it's like, go in with a plan, and go in with a plan, execute the plan, and get out. That's the way to approach it. Now that plan could be, I want to look at this, I'm looking up for this. But also something we haven't talked about yet is probably even more important to me, in my opinion, is what's the content that you're creating? You know, because the content that you're creating, the stuff that you're posting is, it's kind of like, it's like law of attraction. That's a lot of what you're going to get back in return. You know, that's what's going to drive your comments and your discussion points and people sharing related posts with you, and even the algorithm may be picking up on some related things. Which is one more thing I wanted to say is a really massive change with social media was when the algorithm came in. So this is why I prefer Telegram, because initially Facebook, even social media was just basically like a message board. You know, so whatever was last, whoever was posted last, you'd see it. Oh, my friend went to the movie theater. My other friend is eating pizza downtown. You know, it was like you just see the last things, and then you post would come in, and you're just seeing this message board. But now we have this secret algorithm that hides things that they want to hide from you, and that's, you know, we can get into this a little bit, but that's been manipulated politically. That's been manipulated by, you know, intelligence agencies. That's been manipulated by all sorts of different hands in there that are hiding things from you and showing things they want you to see and not showing things they don't want you to see. You know, this is what is called like cancel culture and censorship, and all of this stuff has come into being because of the algorithm, where that wasn't a thing before. You see whatever was last is what you would see, and the algorithm is a secret. It's hidden. It's not transparent. So I think it might be transparent on X now. I'm not sure about that. I'm not really used that platform very much, but generally I know for Facebook and Instagram and all the other major apps, and it's always changing, and it's used to manipulate you in different ways. Like I said, hide certain things, show you things, and you may think you're in control, but you're totally not the one who's deciding what you're seeing. They're deciding what you see.
Yeah, I think that the algorithm, is also just tailored to, again, to keep you on as long as possible and to show you content. Like, one thing I've noticed is a lot of this, like, very short form content, it's very hyper addictive, and it's because it basically gives you the attention span of a goldfish. It's very quick. Like TikTok is like, the main time for the videos is about like 15 seconds. So you have these like 15 to 30 second videos that are really quick, and that stimulation of like TikTok realized that, like, because it's the top like social media platform pretty sure now, and TikTok quickly realized that these like short form videos are really successful because it gives you this like quick stimulation of this quick dopamine hit that you're getting from these videos, right? And then YouTube implemented it with YouTube Shorts, and Instagram implemented it with Instagram Reels, so on and so forth. Stories were taken from Snapchat, so a lot of these social medias are also stealing from each other things that work, right? Because the concept of stories wasn't even a thing on Facebook or Instagram until it was taken from Snapchat, and then the thing of like Reels and Shorts was taken from TikTok. And you have a lot of things that are taken from different social media, and implemented because they've seen that works. That works. That's what keeps people on social media, right? And I think the algorithm is also kind of just geared towards that as well, because the algorithm will kind of push content that's it's seen work with the majority of people, that it's seen work with, certain people. And then also, I think to tie it back to what you were saying, there is some fishy stuff going on as well with social media. And I think specifically in the sense that there's people who are basically working with social media because they're getting some sort of profit out of it. Like, social media is getting some sort of profit out of working with these people to promote whatever ideas, content, whatever that these corporations or groups want social media to promote, right? And to give you example, like, I realized with this really hypersexualized content recently, a lot of the content that was pushed with that hypersexualized content was leading people towards OnlyFans pages, right? And I don't know if there is some sort of, some sort of relationship there, but I wouldn't be surprised if, Instagram or any of these social medias are taking a cut out of, OnlyFans pages, while OnlyFans is basically being allowed to promote heavily their the women who are working for them on social media, right? And again, that again leads to this, and that can go to politics as well, right? Like you have different political groups that want to promote their ideas, and they're promoting those ideas because they have a cut, right? They have some sort of cut with social media, and they have something where if they're able to promote, their ideas, their content, then they'll be able to have some sort of cut of social media as well, right? Or social media will have some sort of cut with them, right? So regardless of what the case is, I definitely think that there's a lot of corporations and groups that are probably working with social media to promote various values, various different ideas, various ideologies, and to kind of control like a narrative, right? Because again, you see a lot of these things where things are labeled as misinformation or so on. Like misinformation obviously is a very broad term, and like whoever is in the hands, I remember I saw this quote. I don't remember like exactly who said it or what the quote was, but it went along the lines of like whoever is in control, they'll always be the ones who will push their beliefs, right? So
They'll be
whatever,
the ones
like
who decide what's misinformation.
exactly, yeah. So like misinformation is not like a real thing. I mean, it is like a real term, but it's like there's no like misinformation is very like a subjective thing in a general sense, right? And whoever is in control can determine, what is misinformation, right? So, that's another thing too. Like you have to factor in is that a lot of social media is a tool because of the fact that so many people rely on social media as a way to get information, to get news, to hear things from other people, to hear different perspectives and opinions, because, never before and ever in history have we been able to hear such a variety of opinions from such a broad spectrum of different people, right?
Yeah, which is
And
great.
yeah, it's great, but it's bad for the people who are in control, right? Because they don't want that. They don't want you to have a diverse, a window of opinions and different ideologies to take from. They want you to have a single belief system, a single way of thinking that makes you easier to manipulate and easier to control, right? And that's why I think, one of the negatives of social media is that those people do have a monopoly over social media in which they can, take control, when they want to and hide the things that they want to hide, right? That's not going to stop people from, going like overcoming that and still getting the word out on certain things, right? Or getting their opinions out. But it is something that people have to realize where there definitely are people on social media who have a lot of power and they have an agenda with that power where they want to promote various things and they want to hide various things. They want to hide various things and label that as misinformation, so on and so forth, right? So I think that's
It's
one
a
thing
it's
people
it's a
have to.
it's a documented fact that the intelligence agencies were involved with Facebook and Instagram, and they were involved with Twitter, YouTube, and they were directing them what to censor, what to cancel, which is completely against the Constitution, by the way. But they were basically cutting free speech and doing it for safety reasons. So you can't state your opinion about COVID because it's not safe to do so. You're gonna make people die. So this was directed by the intelligence agencies. And then this was one of the things that motivated Elon Musk to take over. And this is why there's been so much fighting and so much hatred towards him. He's obviously a complex character, but he did shift that on which is now X, right? So that's noteworthy, and that's all documented. You can look up people like journalists like Matt Taibbi and others who've documented this all like pretty extensively. So that's a thing. I wanted to bring up Jonathan Haidt. He's done some really great research on social media, the negative effects on everybody, but especially teenagers. I listened to some podcasts that he was a guest on, and he makes this really great point, I think, of he says that most kids actually would prefer to be off of the screen more, and they'd prefer to be engaging with people in this world, other friends in this world, and that's more fulfilling for them. But the problem is, if they get off the screen, everybody else in their social network is on the screen. And I can relate to this in my own life as well. So if they get off the screen, they end up being alone. So he makes the point of, like, to address this, you basically have to do it on a community level or communal level. It's than just one person doing it. I mean, you can start with yourself, right? Be the change you want to see. But he's making this point of, like, kind of like entire, like, homeschooling communities or actual certain public schools, certain neighborhoods of connected families are making the commitment together of, like, from this time to this time, no screen, no Facebook, no Snapchat, no TikTok, no nothing. We connect face to face with each other during this time. And he says the teenagers actually really love it and they look forward to it. And so you have to get people collectively off, which is a challenge, it's been interesting for me having a little bit of time here and there around the Amish and kind of, seeing that, oh yeah, they don't grow up with any screen, any news, any smartphone, any television, any electronics. And there is something there that we can draw from. There's some elements in different communities, obviously some indigenous communities that still are largely free of this kind of technology. There are different kind of communities that we can draw inspiration from. And we don't need to go cold turkey. We don't need to go like 24 hours a day, but maybe we say, start off with just saying, hey, like, no phones during dinner. This is the time to connect, look each other in the eye, have face-to-face conversation. This, and then maybe we expand it out to, like, no phones on Sunday, and we start to just kind of expand it out and bring more balance into the situation where the things that are still good for these bodies that we have, face-to-face human relationship and connection with the outdoors, with the fresh air, with sunshine, being in nature, being in, getting exercise, being with a real human being in relationship with a real human being, making love to a real human being that has actual real physical human body. These are the things that are best for us. These are the things that we thrive in, spending time with our families, spending time with our children, with our elders, with our cousins, nieces, nephews, brothers and sisters. These are the things that are healthy for us, our friends. And I think that is the challenge with this the sexual component with the screen, because while it's not as fulfilling as a being with an actual human woman, it will take care of some basic pressure in the genitals. It will release, if you need to have an ejaculation, it will take care of that. So people can just, like, they can just use that because they don't have anything better, but it's kind of like there's the challenge of, like, well, if I get off the screen, everyone else is on the screen. So then I'm just here alone in my room, in some empty universe.
Well, it's something that's interesting I noticed is that's not just limited to social media. That's like a lot of things. Like I would say even like dating apps are the same way, because a lot of people will be like, oh, like I had this terrible experience of dating apps. And then everyone will be like, well, everyone uses dating apps. Like what, that's the main thing people use. Or like, especially, one thing I noticed in particular, and this is actually the first time I realized, like you said, where like, you get off your phone and you'll look around and there'll be 10 other people using it. Like the first time I really started noticing that was actually during the pandemic. Like during when I was in university, I think the pandemic had a huge effect on a lot of people. Like a lot of people beforehand, like I would say, like, because probably like 2018 and 2019, not a lot of people, from what I remember, like people definitely used their phone, but it was not to the extent that people used it after 2020. Like it was, I honestly think that 2020 was a huge, there was a huge shift in like people like using their phones more, being more addicted, you know, a lot of people, like I just feel like that time made people more addicted to their phones because they were stuck indoors. They had nothing else to do. And I remember like during that time, like I would be going on the elevator. Of course, like I was in university, you know, and people were like wearing masks and stuff like that, right? But I would like go to a hallway and I would look around and like I you know, because I actually made it a problem. I remember there was this time where I was like, okay, I'm not going to use my phone for like a month, or I'm going to limit it to like an hour a day for like a month or something, right? And during that time, I would go on elevators. I would like be waiting in class, right? Like in the hall or something. And there would be like at least 20 people like on their phone, like just looking down, not even paying attention. Like there would be kids who would be tripping, like, you know, walking the class, like falling over because they were looking at their phone. They weren't even paying attention to where they were walking, right? So
There's also
I
a
think.
massive increase in car accidents, fatalities on the road because of cell phones, smartphones.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people like, and that's exactly what I think it is. Like, I think there is this like cultural engineering that basically is making people spend more time on their phones. And like you said, like if it's the norm, if everyone's doing it, then you know, if you're a younger kid, what's your excuse to not use your phone? I mean, like if everyone else is doing it, and like, you know, you get fear of missing out because you're not seeing what's going on social media or whatever, right? And like maybe it's not, your mental health is not doing well because you spent so many hours on social media, but because everyone else is doing it, and because you know everyone around you is doing it, like there's no incentive for you to stay off of it, right? And you know, I think that's definitely like a real problem. But also I would say too, I think a lot of people just need to start being the change that they want to see in the world, because you know, there's a lot of like, as much as like other people are doing it, right? I think people need to stop getting so pressured into especially the younger generation, because I know like for a lot of the younger generation, there's this fear that maybe they're missing out on something, you know, maybe, you know, they should be on Snapchat with their friends and you know, be in this group chat or whatever, you know. Like, 'cause I know I've been through that. I've had friends in college, and I you know, a lot of people would have group chats and stuff on Snapchat and all those different things, right? But I also feel like there's nothing better than spending time with people in person. And the more that you actually do that with your friends, like the more you actually do that with family and so on and so forth, the more that the people that you're doing that with will also realize that, right? Because I realize like when I spend time with my friends and stuff like that, like we don't spend, I spend barely any time on our phone. If we are spending time on our phone, it's like just to pull up some funny video, or you know, to watch something or something, right? Or to show something. But like most of the time, like if you're really spending quality time with people, and you're making an effort to spend that in-person time with people, other people will do that too. You know, other people are gonna wanna, because as you said, like kids prefer to stay offline. Kids prefer to not be on social media. The only reason why they're doing it is because, one, you know, it's all these other kids are pressuring them to do it, but also because there's this fear of missing out, and then there's this more addictive element to it that pulls you in. But like on a rational, like conscious level, most people do not want to be spending, you know, most people would rather spend time in person, spending quality time with somebody, than they would be on a screen looking at social media, right? And I think a lot of the causes for why people are on social media, again, like during the pandemic, a lot of people were in their house, they were lonely, they were bored. You know, they had nothing to do except this screen that was in front of them. You know, if it was 50 years ago or 100 years ago, Maybe they'd be reading a book or something, right?
So it
But
seems like the what needs to happen is people you need to be proactive and a conscious creator, and if you want to connect with other people off the screen, then create those opportunities to connect. Whether it's it could be a potluck at your house, or let's all go for a hike together, or let's do a 3-day camping trip, or let's go see this music concert. People are doing these things, and if you're not getting invited to those things, then you be the one that invites people to those things, and start to create that balance in your life. But the dating apps is another good example, whereas if you come in with a clear plan, so people, there's another example where people have found their husband, their wife, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, through dating apps, and other people haven't, right? But are you using it just to, like, you get on Tinder and you're just gonna swipe, 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 like in some unconscious, droning, addictive way? Or do you have a clear plan? Because in my coaching, I work with people that have found people through dating apps, and we really work on getting a very clear plan, specific plan on like what you're wanting to create, looking for that, articulating that, communicating that, and looking for that, and being, and also looking to discern what's not that, and making that a conscious, intentional way of using that app. But I think it's the same for any of these other social media apps. Again, it's not designed to help you; it's designed to hurt you. Okay, so. But you can use it to your benefit if you come in with a very conscious, intentional, self-aware, and a plan of what you're going in there for, what you're wanting to achieve, what the goal is, and use it for that goal. And when that goal is achieved, then move out. It's kind of like, people will talk about, say, like a knife, for example, right? Like a knife can be used for something positive or something negative, right? It's not necessarily bad. It can be used for good things, right? So I think these things can be used for good things, but only if we're very vigilant, extra vigilant, conscious and intentional, precise, disciplined, and know with a sense of self-awareness what we're doing, and then when we achieve that objective, to get out of it.
Yeah, I would say that that's important. I would also say too, again, back to like the virtue thing. I think having a clear sense of like basically creating like a moral system for yourself, right? So for me, like I know who I want to follow on social media. Like I've made it like I've been on social media for a long time, and it's because especially with my generation, even more than yours, like social media is very big, right? And I've made it very clear to myself, like, who I'm going to follow. Like, I only follow these people. I don't follow this stuff because I know it's degenerate. I know it's gonna, affect the quality of my life. I know it's not gonna add any value to my life. So I don't follow those people. Also, I realized that this type of like mindless scrolling, where, people spend hours like scrolling through social media like mindlessly, that's a waste of time. I could be using that time working on, a business. I could be using that time reading a book that will add value to my life. I can be using that time to spend with family, to spend with friends, right? So that's another thing, right? Like limit the amount of time you spend on social media, right? Because like obviously there's people who aren't like not everyone on social media is a creator. Like some people just use it and they just use it to connect with their friends maybe, or they use it, because they want to see some cool quotes, or they want to see what some influencers that they follow are posting and so forth, right? So if you're not a creator, you might not have like, okay, I'm gonna go on and like do this for this day. You might not have like a clear goal for that day, but maybe you just want to go on to see what your friends are doing, or go on to post something on your story or whatever, right? If that's the case, again, like be very intentional of that, and make sure you like limit your time, right? Like I'm only going to spend 30 minutes today on social media. I'm going to, check, see what my friends are doing. I'm going to put something on my story. I'm going to put something on my reel, or I'm going to, check some of these guys that I'm following, right? But don't spend, like don't lose track of time and end up scrolling mindlessly through all that stuff, because what that does is, I don't think people realize, but this literally like affects the brain. It affects the attention span, right? Like a lot of people, I think, have really short attention spans because I don't remember who it was who said this, but I remember this. There's one quote where it's like, if everyone in the world could sit silently in a room for like an hour, then all the world's problems would be solved, right? Most people can't do that, right? Most people always need some sort of stimulation. I think that's honestly getting worse with social media because social media is basically training us to always need some type of stimulation. Like people can't go and, like walk through nature without, pulling their phone out and taking pictures or going on social media and so on and so forth, right? Like a lot of people always have to have some sort of stimulation instead of, being in the moment and, basically taking time to be in the present, right? Because like a lot of the, especially the Eastern religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, like Taoism, a lot of these religions talked about being in the present moment, right? And basically being in the now, and stop getting caught up in the mind, right? And that's exactly the opposite of what a lot of these social media are training people's brains to do, right? Because if you just go with the algorithm and you let yourself get manipulated by social media, you're going to develop an attention span that is, very, very bad, right? It's going to be hard to do to get work done because, you're going to have this, you're going to start to develop, your brain is going to start to develop a way where you're going to always constantly need new things to look
Yeah,
at. You're
it's
always, you're going to
to
be used to
chop. I was
this.
talking about this earlier today. Like to accomplish long-term goals, you need to be able to focus your attention consistently over at the same focus point over an extended period of time, right? So like attention, short attention span. Like I see that that's really, again, in the work I do with the coaching, like it really inhibits some people from manifesting much of anything in their lives because they're constantly being distracted by this and over here and over there. And it's like if you really want to do something great in your life in whatever area that, I have 10 different areas I work with, but in any of the particular areas of your life, you want to do something great, you got to maintain focus and not be distracted. And you got to maintain focus over a long period of time. If it's, let's say it's a marriage, you got to maintain focus the rest of your life. It's like if you're building a business, you got to maintain focus for years. Physical fitness, maintain focus every day, giving your attention to what's important to be in the top optimal health. So that is really a key important point. I want to make one other point, and then I'm ready to wrap up. So I think one thing that's important to touch on, we haven't touched on yet, is people call them like thought silos. So basically, with this algorithm, the way it works is you'll get kind of like the same viewpoint on things, and you'll kind of you'll, you the algorithm will be set up in a way where you just keep getting things that reinforce your worldview, and then that's all you see. So you tend to think that people that have the opposite view are just crazy or insane or they're evil or they're whatever. So what you need to do, and I do this on occasion, and just because I'm connected to a lot of people, it sort of naturally happens for me. So for social media, is instead of blocking people, which is kind of the move, oh, this guy says something I don't agree with, block him. He says something I don't like, block him. She said something that pissed me off, block her. It's like I don't block people for having a different point of view than me. I want to see what people are saying and what their opposing viewpoints. Doesn't mean I necessarily agree. I may not agree, but I want to know what people are thinking and what's happening. And I want to know the ideas that are different than mine. What are they? And what's their reasoning and what's their rationale? What's their logic and what's the emotional intelligence that's behind it? And I think in doing that, and I would advise anybody to do that, to really make space to hear both sides of any issue through social media, I really think it helps me to deepen in wisdom because I'm able to integrate a larger worldview through being exposed to a variety of worldviews where many people are in these thought silos on social media where they're just kind of getting the same thing constantly and they're losing the wider perspective that's available on any particular topic or subject.
Yeah, I would say that social media can definitely pull you down, make you think very narrowly, because it will reinforce the things that you're into, or reinforce the ideas that you have. And I think that's kind of why we're seeing such like polarization in our
Yeah,
society.
exactly. That's exactly the point.
Yeah, because
Exactly.
people are getting farther pulled in whatever direction their belief system is, they're getting farther pulled into that direction. And a lot of people are like getting so far pulled. Like, it's crazy when I go on like TikTok and stuff, and I see like I haven't been on TikTok in forever. It had to be like at least like a year since I've scrolled through TikTok. I have like posted stuff, but I remember when I did used to go on TikTok, there was some like really crazy, like wild things people were believing. Like end of the world type scenarios, like, oh, the world's gonna end when this happens, and like, but it was like these people were so like isolated from reality. Like, their beliefs were so like far away from reality. And I think the reason why that is because people get so caught up in these ways of thinking, and they kept getting reinforced so much in that way of thinking, to the point where at a certain point it's not even connected to reality at all. It's not even connected to rational thought, rational conscious thinking. At that point, it's just completely, like I am just digging my way into this rabbit hole, and I'm digging myself so far into it that it's not even reality anymore, right? And I think that's
Yeah,
why.
and then if they're exposed to somebody who has a point of view different than them, they get really angry because they're not used to anybody have a different opinion. They're used to talking, connecting with people on social media that think like they do all day. So people have they don't have any tolerance for someone that has a different perspective. It's almost like shocking, like it's traumatic to the system that someone has a different point of view than you, even though this is normal. Like if we didn't have social media and you just walk down the main street of your New York City or where, there'd be all kinds of different points of view and perspectives, and that's how human beings are. There's nothing wrong with it, but we're not used to it because if we're in the thought silo, we're not used to it, and then it's very shocking to be exposed to different points of view, which is not healthy. So integration, have being exposed to different points of views and then integrating the diverse perspectives to have a more broader, wider, holistic worldview is where it's at.
Yeah, I would say, definitely expose yourself to multiple points of view, but also, like, I think it's just healthy to, like, don't be so emotional online. I think that's another thing people have a problem with is, as you said, like, people get very riled up with different things, and they get very caught up in like this. Like, one of the things I remember, and this was specifically with Twitter, like, I guess, it's X now or whatever, right? But I remember that like Twitter was the one social media I could never bring myself to use. And the reason why was because it just seemed so toxic to me. It seemed like there was so many people on there were just so combative and so at each other's necks that I was like, I don't see a point in going on here and then just like emotionally being in a negative state. Like, it just seemed pointless, right? And I think a lot of people, they make their lives worse. Like, it's kind of the same thing of like watching the news. Like, obviously it's good to know what's going on. Obviously it's good to have an idea of what's going on in the world, but obviously, like, the people who watch the news all the time, like, I don't watch the news. I check the news sometimes to know what's going on, or if something's big is going on, I'll check it. But I don't like watch the news all the time, because I know if I do that, it would give me a lot of negative emotions that aren't beneficial to my life. And also, it would just, like, a lot of people get addicted to this kind of like negative stimulation for some reason. If it bleeds, it leads, those type of things where it's like that fear porn that you were talking about. A lot of this like fear
Yeah.
porn. But also there's even this, like, I don't know, it's like, I don't know what you call it, like anger porn almost. Like, it's like
Yeah,
this
exactly.
agitation that,
Right.
people get addicted to, like this almost like tribal warlike, combativeness on social media. And it's very strange, because whenever I would see that, I would be re repulsed by it. I'd be like, what is this? Why are these people just like arguing? Like, they're literally having all these arguments. And I think another element of it too is a lot of people have like a huge ego. Like a lot of people are very like narcissistic nowadays, where they think that the way that they think is the only way, and any other way is wrong, right? To the point where people who are not even religious, who are not even, because generally you would think like the fundamentalist religious people would be the people who are like that, right? But now you have people who aren't even fundamentally religious who act like they are fundamentally religious because of the simple fact that they believe that their belief system is true and anything outside of that belief system is wrong, right? Anything outside of that belief system is basically going to rip away their whole entire worldview, right? So that's kind of the weird world we live in, right? And I think one thing a lot of people could do is just avoid that combativeness. Like you're going to live a much better life if you're not going online just to argue with people, just to,
Especially strangers.
yeah, just to prove some point that you have, right? Because listen, everyone is entitled to their opinions. Everyone is entitled to believe what they want to believe. But you shouldn't go on social media looking for a fight. You shouldn't go on social media looking to prove something, right? If you want to express your belief system, that's fine. But I really don't recommend that people
I
go
think
online trying to get at it, trying to prove something.
It goes back to the original question of why are you going on social media? Because if you're just going on mindlessly, unconsciously, you're going to get overtaken by all sorts of things that are going to be destructive for your life. It's a dangerous place to be without a clear sense of direction and intention. So again, to me, the underlying thing is understand what it is. I mean, if you want to be off it completely, that's great. That's awesome. Thumbs up,
Well,
but
that's
if
another thing real quick I want to say too. Like, I don't think there should be a stigma against people completely quitting social media because like obviously I know you use it for business and I know I use it as well, to post content, right?
I
So
would
like we
say, I just
have
want to say, yes, but I primarily have always used it, even before I had a business and with the business, I use it to put it really simply, to try to make a more beautiful world, That's the what I use it. That's what my posts are for. That's the purpose of it.
And regardless of what your purpose is using social media, I feel like there shouldn't be a stigma against people not using social media. If you don't want to use social media, that's completely fine. If you don't want to spend any time on social media, for a lot of people, that's probably a good thing, right? Unless
Oh
you have a
yeah,
business,
that's great.
unless you are some type of content creator, you probably shouldn't be doing it. But if you are on social media, you're better off being a creator than a consumer because, a lot of people, they're constantly consuming and consuming, right? And it kind of goes to the same thing with like business as well. Like you're a lot better being like an entrepreneur than you are being somebody who's constantly consuming, right?
Yeah,
So I think.
but if there's no consumers, then there wouldn't be any creators, So I think it comes back to like being a consumer in a conscious, intentional way with a plan, and being a creator in a conscious, intentional way with a plan, and basically creating a vibrational community that's dedicated to love, freedom, peace, all the good things, inspiration, living from an empowered space of creativity. For on our Telegram group, it's our three pillars are spiritual awakening, holistic wellness, and empowered sovereignty. But basically just having that clear sense of like, what am I here to create? And then creating it and staying disciplined with it and staying focused and staying intentional. You'll get distracted sometimes. I get distracted sometimes. You just come back and focus. If you get distracted, come back and focus, get back on the horse. It's all right. Forget about the past, turn the page. And move forward. But I gotta wrap up, G. So any last thoughts? Let's hear them.
So I don't know how much I can get into this. Like maybe we can do a part two or something. But one thing I did want to say, there's a whole thing with social media, and I would say a lot of people have lower self-esteem. A lot of people are comparing themselves. A lot of people, there's a lot of like envy going on, right? With people on social media. And I think that causes a lot of damage as well to the younger generation because we kind of talked about this in the last podcast, but there's this kind of facade that people create, right, with their lives where they show like this great life and I have all these followers, and I have this perfect life, right? With kind of showing this fake. I mean, just to show you how fake it is, like filters are a good example, right? There's all people use all these filters and all these edits to their photos to make them look, super attractive, right? So a lot of people, I think, compare themselves on social media, especially in terms of like the way they look, but also in terms of the lifestyle that they have. There's a lot of comparison that goes on. I think that comparison can be very unhealthy for a lot of younger generation, but also people in general too. I think that there's a lot of envy. And then on top of that, I would say that there's also a lot of narcissism, right? There's a lot of people who are very vain on social media, very obsessed with themselves. And I don't think that that does any good either, especially to other people, but also to themselves, because I think humility is a virtue that's not really taken seriously in the modern day, like at all. And I think so a lot of people on social media need a lot more humility. But also I think that, there needs to be a lot said about a lot of the comparison that's going on, a lot of the unhealthy, the body dysmorphia, all these different things that are going on, especially I think with younger women, it's a really big thing, but now it's even becoming a big thing with younger men too, where there's a lot of this insecurity, body dysmorphia, this comparison that constantly goes on. And I think like if you look back like hundreds of years ago, like if you had a life that was like, I guess from a certain perspective, you could call like bad, like you would have no one to compare that to, like you would have like the few people in your village and that would be it. Now it's like you go online and you're exposed to all these different people and you see everyone from like, Kim Kardashian to like homeless people, right? So you have this huge spectrum of like people that you see, and it's easy to compare yourself in a way that's unhealthy, I think.
So those are good topics to bring up. Just a couple last points on that. So, social media, like let's take Instagram for example, which I know pretty well. Like the Instagram influence is basically like a constructed reality TV show. Like there's nothing real about it. You have to understand that. I mean, people, there's all kinds of documentation of people like renting airplanes and renting hotel rooms and renting cars for the day, to pretend this fake lifestyle that they have, and you they're basically constructing. It's like you're watching like a show that they're constructing. For you to watch. It's just nothing to do with real life. And so that's the first thing. I could go a lot more into that, but that's the basic thing to understand there. The second thing is that for me personally, if I'm going to tune in to somebody on Instagram, I want them to be better than me. I don't want them to be worse than me. I want them to be better than me, in whatever area I'm focused on. And I don't need to be jealous. I need to be inspired to move in that direction, to aspire to move in that direction. So shifting from jealousy to inspiration is really huge. And we always want to have people that are mentors, people that are coaches, people that are heroes, people that are sources of inspiration for us. You see them and you're like, yeah, he or she shows that I can get there. I can make that happen in my life. People who show you what's possible. So that actually doesn't need to be a bad thing. That can be actually a really good thing if you use it in a way that inspires you and moves you to basically become a better human being. So what I'm saying is, if you're gonna, like you were saying earlier, if you're gonna follow certain people on Instagram, for example, follow people that inspire you to be a better human being and move towards it every day and stay disciplined and focused on becoming that person without getting distracted, and if you can do that, and you can do that, certainly you can do that, then that's how you use these things in a positive way.
Yeah, and I think that's a key point, because one thing I'll say to that is yes, follow people that are doing, I mean, I guess you say doing better than you, but I think you have to be very clear and careful with that definition, because A lot of people follow people that I think they don't need to be following. Like, you don't need to be following, random. I mean, again, like, people are free to do what they want, but I feel like people are shooting themselves in the foot with a lot of the people that they follow. Like, there's girls that I dated where they would literally go on social media and they say, "Wow, like, look at how beautiful this girl is. Like, why can't I be like her?" Like, I literally heard, women would say that, right? That those type of things. And I think that a lot of people, instead of following content that is consciously positive and leading them in a good direction, they follow content that constantly brings them negative emotions and constantly is not leading them in a
Yeah, but
good path.
this is what's interesting though. Like if you're not living to your fullest potential and you see somebody that is,
No, but hold
you
on.
might feel
That's not
negative
what I'm talking about.
emotions.
I'm not talking about living your fullest potential. What I'm talking about is like things that are like if you like follow some like I don't know, some Instagram model or something, right? And you're like, "Oh wow, this woman or man, whatever gender you are, this person's so attractive. I wish like it's pointless. There's no point in following that person if it brings you this
Okay,
negative.
but how
Now,
about
is there
this?
something internally that can be shifted? Sure. But what I'm saying is that like there's a lot of people that I think people follow where they could be following somebody in place of that. It would be a much more positive influence, not only to improve their life, but also to put them in a mental place where they're doing better in their life.
Yeah, but you can only do better in your life by following people that are better, that are having a better life, living a better life than you. So that's where it's an interesting thing. So like for example, if you're gonna follow like a business coach, make sure they have a better business than you have. If you're gonna follow a relationship coach, make sure they have a better relationship than you have. If you're gonna follow a fitness coach, make sure they're more physically fit than you, right? Like et cetera, like all the way down the line. So that's I think like just following someone mindlessly that makes you feel bad, that's stupid, right? But following somebody conscious intentionally might make you feel bad initially to motivate you to step into the fullest actualization or realization that is there and available for you to step into that potential. So that's an interesting discernment. I think that's valuable.
Well, maybe some people lean more towards jealousy or something, but I notice for me, like, there's people who just clearly, I don't feel any sort of envy or like, they're just clearly inspiration to me. And then there's other people where it's like, I'm like, why am I following this person? Like, they're not helping me out. So, like, you think there's a way where you can find the line where, like, this makes me feel good. Like, this type of content is leading towards a good life, not only in the way I feel, but also the direction I'm headed. And then there's content where you're like, you don't feel good. It doesn't make you feel good. And also it doesn't really add anything to your life. And I think people have to decipher between that. They have to have discernment with the type of content that they're consuming, because if you're gonna continue to consume content mindlessly, that's not leading you to not only positive emotional states, but also leading you towards a path in life that's not really that great. Like I recently I started seeing these people online. I started seeing like these people who were like, I don't know, like they were like disabled. There's one guy who was like disabled, like he was like missing legs or something, but he like had this amazing life and he was doing all these different things, right? He was like a business owner, like stuff that I haven't even achieved yet in my life. Stuff that like, that would be dreams of mine that this guy has achieved, right? And he's only done it, he's done it without legs, right? And that type of stuff, I think, is a lot different than a lot of the other content that somebody might consume, where it doesn't really give you any motivation, doesn't really give you any sense of like, oh wow, like this is something like achievable or something like that makes me feel like motivated. It's like this type of content where it's just like, oh, this kind of makes me feel shitty, like it makes me feel like miserable, right? So I think like deciphering between that type of content. Like finding the stuff that really motivates you and like really, because I know my Instagram feed is just completely like coaches, quotes, like stuff about stoicism, a lot of like really cool content, a lot of stuff that I
Me,
can learn from.
you
What do you
follow
say?
me. You follow me
Yeah.
also.
Yeah, you too.
I follow you too.
Yeah, but basically, like, you know, if you can start to be very conscious with the stuff that you are following on social media and limiting your time as well, right? I think that will lead to a lot of people who have better outcomes with the impact that social media is having on their life.
Yeah. Thanks everybody for tuning in. If you have any interest in personal coaching sessions, group coaching, retreats, workshops, let me know. And Gio and I are going to start doing some things together as well. So look forward to that as well. Love you, son.
Love you too, and peace out, everyone.
See you all in the next now.